And I have the perspective because I lived it, and only because of when I was born. It's no, there's no magic formula here. It's just so different. It was, you know, if you came back with something and it was pretty good, and the editors used to say, develop it. And right. And then right before I was leaving, I was like, well, that's pretty good, but... you know, the senator is really good friends with the publisher. In fact, they live two houses from each other. You know, Senator Torricelli, I was going after. I'm like, yeah, so fucking what? Now, when you're 27, 28, you don't get it, right? You're like, well, what are you talking about? The guy, he's a congressman. He wants to be a U.S. senator. The guy is committing crimes. Isn't that important? Well, we need to just slow it down. And you're like, oh, boy, here we go. Yeah.
Well, I mean,
now it's
you're
like every
right,
movie you ever watch, Aaron Brockovich and all these movies that were out at the time. You're like, oh, here we go. I hadn't gotten to this point in my career where the bullshit starts, I guess, because you're not chasing worthy enough targets. But you could still slip. I mean, we still slipped a lot in, and it was a battle. But you could feel it changing then, that everything was going to be a battle, and there's always these caveats in it. And if you went to the, when I interviewed at the New York Times, they were like, well, we have a different style here. I know you're kind of a bruiser. And I was like, wait a second. What am I going to be doing here? Right? Well, they want me to work here? What's my purpose? This isn't for me. I'm ready to rock and roll. These guys are, you could feel it changing. You could feel the
well, no. You're absolutely right. When we go back and look at old media clips, it changed drastically. You're right, because it moved into Wag the Dog at 100%, because you have to look at who the stakeholders are in the media, right? And then we had the rise of the pharmaceutical companies in the 90s, which they did not have their hand in advertising in news or in anything. It wasn't allowed. But then it's all commentary now, opinion, entertainment, as we know in the Tucker Carlson lawsuit. You know, they basically label news now as entertainment and not news. But at least back when you're talking about when you were in it, or some of those Mike Wallace pieces from the 70s, at least there was an attempt at some hard-lining questions caught on film, like when he interviewed the head of the CDC in the 70s and caught that on film where he was uncomfortable and couldn't answer certain questions. And, you know, Mike Wallace is like, you knew. You don't really see that today. It can't be done today. It's impossible.
You can't get to those
that
people. He would have to.
You
I
can't.
Mean, he
right.
would have to stake people out, you know, but...
I mean, there were
how
on.
Do you, how
look
do you
at
stake
all the
out?
On location.
Well, think about
There's
this.
There's no on location.
Well, because you can't control live news.
That's right.
There's no
they
control.
Don't do it.
But I've been there standing next to, you know, WABC and CBS at these things, whether it's Flight 800 or whatever, and they go, and we're going live. Well, anything can happen. They can't spin it, right?
Mm-hmm.
So it's very rare. Now you'll see live remotes for like the weather. It's snowing out. Look at these guys here. They're very ingenious. They built a snowman. And like they'll do that kind of stuff, right? But they won't go to spot news.
Like with 9/11. There were so many live pieces of news of people on the streets. That most of that was scrubbed. Now, the only thing
it wasn't scrubbed. It wasn't scrubbed. When I got up there in the morning after the towers fell, NYPD was confiscating every fucking camera anybody had. They said, "Oh, hey, did you have any footage of that?"
Oh yeah, yeah, just like they did with Vegas.
They took it all. They took
right,
all
but
of it.
But the ones that did make it out there, where you could say, "Hey, I remember seeing this." You can't find it, but you can find it from some of the smart people that have saved it themselves to their own personal collection and that they'll put out, you know. But you're not going to be able to go to YouTube and say, you know, put this in and find it. But you clearly remember seeing it.
My former colleague at the record, Tom Franklin, who took the famous photo with the three firemen and the flag.
Mm-hmm.
They tried to take his camera from him.
Yeah.
Did you
interview him?
I reached out to him a year ago, but he said it was so crazy because it was the 20-year anniversary, you know? And I never followed up. And you know what? I have to be honest with you. I get fucking mixed emotions and, you know, around that time. Even my family knows not to fuck with me around that. Probably like a month leading up to that. It's just like a weird... For me, it's when the weather breaks. When the weather breaks and it gets cool at night around August 15th, I start to think about September 11th. Because we had just come back. It's a crazy story. We had just come back from fucking Ireland. I was over there working. Just come back from Ireland. And there was this cat. I should have one of my guys come on here and talk about it. Tony Del Duca was with me, the cop, right? I should have Tony come on here and talk about it. It was crazy. We flew out of Dublin, and we went to Shannon, and then we came to JFK, or maybe it was BWI. And this was on the 10th, September 10th, or September 9th, Sunday, I think. And there was this guy on the plane, and he was Middle Eastern, and he was with a white chick, and he kept going, and like rocking back and forth. And then he was crying during the flight. And this was a Big Bird. So they had like five seats in the middle and two seats on the right and two seats on the left. Big Bird, right? So we were in the middle. We had a whole crew. We had five guys in the middle. And I was on the end. And so he was like one row up to the right, not right next to me, but I had, right? I had full sight of this guy. And I kept fucking nudging the guy next to me. Look at this fucking guy. Can you imagine this guy? What is he doing? What's going? I'm saying this fucking guy is up to something. I thought he was going to blow the plane up. I'm not kidding. So he got up. Listen to this. I counted because I'm completely insane. Don't you know that? 32 times during the flight he got up. So I said, now we're working for the government back then. I said, to the flight attendant, take me to the cockpit. I went to the cockpit. I said, you got a guy back here. If he gets up one more fucking time, we're going to restrain him and stuff him in the bathroom. I'm just letting you know what's going down back here. This guy's gotten up 32 times. He's fucking around in bags and stuff. And so Tony was there. And Tony's a fucking dick when he's mad, you know, he's a cop, right?
So right.
He knows how to handle people. He's like, dude, you don't need to go talk to the fucking captain. What are you doing? I'll handle it. I said, whatever, man. So right before that, this is where he got up and his overhead was right kind of in front of me, but over me, right? And we were talking about it the whole time. Every time he got up, we're like, Jesus Christ, here we go. This is it. He's going to hit the fucking detonator. And we're not being stereotypical or racist. This guy was crying and rocking back and forth and praying, Allah, 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 Allah.
Oh, my.
Right? And now this is before 9/11. 2 days, mm-hmm. Okay? Two days. And he got up to get something out of the overhead, and some magazines fell, and there was like a strap from a carry-on bag, and we thought that was it. We thought that was the bomb. We all were like, oh, my God, what the fuck? Right? So, and I came back from the cockpit and Tony said, he gets up one more time, I'll handle it. I said, whatever, dude. I just told the captain, if he keeps getting up, we're going to fucking restrain him. So the guy got up and Tony said, sit the fuck down. Sit your fucking ass down. You're like a little kid. And he's like, don't get the fuck. You get back up one more time. We are going to fuck you up. And I was like, Tony, that's probably not what we were looking for. But the guy was like, And
I like it.
And so we got home and we were talking about it like the next day. It was a Sunday we flew back. And then this happens 48 hours later. And so we still are thinking to ourselves, even to this day, was that fucking asshole involved in this somehow?
Right. Sure.
I mean, when's the last time you flew on a plane? A guy's praying to Allah. And this is a long flight. You're covering the Atlantic Ocean, right? It's complete insanity. It's just one of the crazy stories of my career. And
you'd have to get that flight log and see what the name was associated.
It doesn't even matter. I mean, it's like, who knows who the guy is, how many IDs he probably had, what he was up to. But
I don't believe it. Yeah, we don't believe in coincidences, right? Sure. Right.
And we're sitting next to this asshole for 6 hours. And then Tony, out of everything, I love Tony. Tony's like, I don't understand. I'm like, I think this fucking guy is like a terrorist, man. There's something wrong with this guy. And the guys I were with, they're like drinking Heinekens. I'm a nervous wreck. They're like, yeah, let's get some more Heinekens over here. I said, I'm not drinking anything, man. I got to be sharp, man. And Tony's sitting there the whole time. I don't understand it either, man. It's very suspicious. I said, right, the way he's acting. He goes, no, how he got that white girl. I don't get it. It's weird. I said, you guys are fucked up. This guy's going to bring this plane down. And you guys are drinking and worrying about how he's scoring this chick. I don't get you guys, man. I don't get you guys.
Oh, that's funny.
And he come home, God. And my wife's like, how's the flight? I was like, yeah, it's no big deal. Everything's cool.
Yeah.
Just a flight. You know, it's pretty good. A little bumpy here and there. Meanwhile, this fucking crazed terrorist is on the flight.
But he listened to Tony, right? He didn't get up again, did he?
I think that guy pissed his pants. If he had to go to the bathroom, he's just like, I mean, Tony was
And I like his style.
I think Tony might have growled at him a couple times, like, it went downhill as they kept ordering more Heinekens. It went downhill. I was a wreck. I was like the dad on a field trip with these four or five crazy kids and worrying about this maniac sitting a row in front of us. And then 9/11 happens 48 hours later, and you're sitting there thinking, what the fuck?
Oh, yeah. You know, I could imagine.
We still talk about it all the time.
Because
it's so surreal.
Sure is.
You know? I mean, we finished the flight. We're like, okay, the guy wasn't going to blow up the flight, right? That's cool. We were wrong. We're dicks. Don't you feel bad now? Mm-hmm. I'm like, yeah.
Right?
I feel bad. God. Maybe the guy was, like, having a hard time. And then buildings start to fall and worldwide chaos in the United States, basically, based. And then you have to think, what was going on with this guy? And you could never do that again. First of all, you could never stand up on a flight and tell the guy to sit the fuck down or you're going to beat his ass. You could never do that. And if some guy was on the plane, a Middle Eastern guy, crying and praying to Allah, I don't know what would happen.
Oh, yeah.
I think he might get bomb rushed and might duct tape him to a seat or something.
Right. Yeah, you're absolutely right.
Everything changed after that.
That was the first reset.
Yeah, everything. Especially in airports, obviously it changed. But
everything, the entire world, everything. Like when my mother flew and she left Tampa, they didn't bother her for anything. She didn't take her shoes off. They didn't, you know, she had one big shoulder.
Really? We're in Philly?
No, when she was leaving Tampa.
Oh, leaving Tampa. Forget it. Philly there.
Philly there. She was shocked. Philly coming back.
That's crazy.
They tormented her. And she was so confused. She's like, Tampa didn't do any of that. Like, none of it. I mean, they went through her bag. She had like a big carry-on shoulder bag. And she had like her tablet in there. And then they opened the tablet. She's like, and they put something on it. It looked like alcohol and a cotton ball. I don't know what they were doing. They did all this stuff. She's a freaking 80-year-old lady. Like, what are you people doing? Made her take off her shoes, all of that. But they didn't do any of it leaving Tampa. That was so, you know, bizarre.
There's no consistency. We're finding that out now. And then we'll circle back to the topics at hand. Not my run-ins with terrorists on the airplane. There are other stories, too, perhaps we'll get to. These things just come out. I think about them every now and then, and they come out.
we'll make you come out in general comedy. That's what we're doing. We're chit chatting, and that's how we talk for 3 hours, even if we're not recording.
I know. It's fascinating, the fact that we can talk so much. And how long have we been talking for? I don't have my timer on. Seems like a long time. Hold on. How long?
Two hours and almost 35 minutes.
We're done.
Stick a fork in it.
Let me check. Hold on. Do you hear that noise? That's my bladder. My bladder says we're done.
people, you're funny.
How do you know when it's time to stop? When my bladder tells me, okay?
Going downhill. There you go.
Haven't you seen the commercials? The guy can't even drive his Corvette without, you know, stopping every 15 minutes.
I don't watch television.
No. Pharmaceutical commercials. Funny. We had a real big offer for advertising on the podcast. This pill company, right? With these supplements, and the Young Bucks were really stoked. They're like, "Oh, this is a lot of money," and I said, "All right, just calm the fuck down." So I start researching it, and they have all these like citation letters from the FDA. Not that that's necessarily it's not necessarily a bad thing, though. Right.
Because they try to stop a lot of them, right?
Because they're the FDA, right? Are fucked up. I mean, I'm sitting there. I told the young guys, we can't rail about the FDA and then pretend that they have some kind of sway over anything. We have to check these
things out. That's true. Know?
It could be a good thing.
If the FDA rejects it, I want it.
Yeah, exactly. And so we started looking into all these things, and I said, nah, this isn't for us, man. I can't sit there and say, hey, you should take this. I take this, right? Because I don't fucking take it. I take niacin. I take melatonin. Right. But that's nobody's making any money from that. And I know it works.
Right.
Right? Everybody I know takes that stuff now. Mm-hmm, I'm like the local pusher. How you been feeling, man? Well, I don't feel so good. Well, I got something here for you right here. I give out bottles. Like, who the fuck is this guy?
Are you running around with a trench coat?
I'm McGruff the crime dog. I'm running around like McGruff with my melatonin and niacin. We got some guy up here with vitamins. How much is he charging? Nothing.
It's crazy. Nobody's making money.
But some of these supplements that they're putting out there, they're crazy, man. They can't work. They can't, like... Or they're just vitamins and they repackage them. I mean, I think that's a possibility, right? But
I mean, everything has to, like, I research everything before I order something. I'm always looking at, you know, the company and digging. And I'm also fortunate, like, I don't have to go through whatever the newest phase is. And, you know, you go to the internet and you find everything new. Like, I have health books that are like 30 years old. So I could go look at that information and match it up and see that it's saying the same thing or what, you know, whatever. So I just could pull out some old holistic books or, you know, vitamin book, all of that. My mother had all that stuff and I have a lot of it too. So I know when you go to the internet and you put something in, you're going to get a lot of new information. You're not going to get much old information. So I like to go back before something was cutting edge or like with when it comes to niacin, you could get that book, Dr. Hoffer, Niacin is a Cure. It's an older book and there's a lot of good stuff in there about it. So, well, I mean, there's so many things that, you know, have been around forever that have great healing, anti-inflammatory, you know, all of that garlic, you know, the garlic is great. And, but some things they come out that, yeah, they'll make things be like such a miracle. But then I noticed, like, there's products out there with niacin in it, like you can find on the shelves. But there's other garbage and fillers and junk in them. It's like, no, you don't want that. Anything you're going to take, you want the purest form of. And you want a good company.
Well, my wife, she talks to this Amish lady who runs a supplement store. Can't believe it. Okay. The Amish now are in supplements, but it makes sense.
Well, yeah, they've been around forever.
Right. And she says, hey, do you have any melatonin and flush niacin? And the Amish lady looks at her and is like, how do you know about that? So she starts chatting her up, and she's like, I can't keep this stuff in stock even for our people. So forget about you, you non-denominational sinners out here. We can't even keep melatonin and niacin because...
curcumin, 95% curcumin. I have replaced the...
What is it, well, curcumin? What the hell is that?
Yeah, turmeric curcumin, 95%. That, some days I do that before the niacin, and some days I do melatonin. I switch it up. I switch things up, but that's good too.
I will tell you one thing. A couple times in the last few weeks, I felt maybe under the weather, like, you know, the first day or half when you're slipping.
Yeah.
I said, let me crank this stuff up. Let me double it. And guess what? That's it. It's gone.
Same here. Gone. I told my daughter-in-law yesterday, I dropped off some soup there, and four of them, you know, have not been feeling well. And then my husband went down, and I said, I'll be over with some soup. And even her mother wasn't feeling well. And so she's like, well, you're the captain of the ship. You know, you can't go down. I said, like, you're not kidding. I can't go down. And that's what I do. I just bump things up. You know, I might feel a little wishy-washy, but it keeps me standing. It keeps me going. But for you, on the days that you're really feeling normal and fine, like soon, maybe when springtime comes in, you know, you're feeling good, lower it. You don't have to do the higher doses of anything.
I'm not even taking it every day now. I don't take it every day.
There you go. Good.
I space it out and I, you know.
And I think that's how it should be done. Yeah. I don't believe in overdoing anything, except when you're sick, you know, you up the doses, you know, and follow different protocols because you want to kick it quickly. But when you're feeling normal for general maintenance, no, I don't believe in overdoing anything. It's like, if I feel fine, I feel fine. I know when I need a little something extra. You know, I love...
Yeah, after this stage in your life, you would know that.
Right, that B Supreme. I love that.
Yeah, B Supreme. You know?
Oh yeah, I love that product. What else do I like?
Ugh. You have to put out your list and put the recipe of your list on the.
I can't because I don't take everything. I mix it up.
Right. You have to be careful too. I gave somebody this. I said, "Man, you got to check this out. Some dude is having a problem with his joints. Big dude, big brother, I know." And he's man, everything's fucked up, and you know, I stopped by with my older son to see this cat. He runs a shop up the road. And it's all brothers from Wilmington. And I start talking with them. Bah, 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 bah. And I said, you got to try this. You got to try this. I'll bring this stuff in, right? And so I take I take it into him. And it's melatonin 10 milligram pills, right? And he said, what should I start out with? I said, well, you know, you start out with a little bit, two or three, right?
Two or three pills?
No. Two or three pills, like 30 milligrams of melatonin, right?
Ooh.
Is that what you're talking about?
Yeah. Yeah. Go ahead.
Like three and four, right? Melatonin. Three pills of melatonin and then four pills of niacin or something like that. 100 milligrams. Whatever. Right, so right. Work it out.
Right.
As a matter of fact, I think my wife, still there?
Yeah, I'm here.
I think my wife texted you because when I was there to get it right. So we got it right.
That's right.
We got it right. So he called me up. He's like, man, if I had to take, he thought he had to take 300 milligrams of melatonin. He's like, I'm going to take this whole bottle. I said, bro. Slow your roll. So you have to be very specific with people.
Oh, right? Absolutely. 100%.
That's what's like dangerous. It's like, you know, you give, that's why we wouldn't do the supplement thing on here. I mean, it was a lot of money for a long term. But I'm like, what happens if somebody? I'm reading these ads. If somebody gets fucked up, then like I feel like a jerk, right? For what? A couple bucks? Give me a break. I sleep better at night knowing that you can talk to people about natural things, and so far it's had fantastic results. But
yeah,
We came away from the place, and my son says, "Dad, you know, you when you talk to those guys, you talk like you're black." He goes, "You're not black. You're not black. So what are you doing?" I said, this is how I grew up. You just talk. You talk with the crew, right? And I said, and this is when you go into a city. If you're working in Atlanta or you're working somewhere else, New York City, and you go and you have to go to Harlem or you have to go to Spanish Harlem and you go to, you have to blend in. You know, excuse me, sir. Can you help me? I mean, you have to blend in, bro. You have to be a chameleon. I'm a chameleon. I'm a professional chameleon. What are you talking about? It's busting my chops. I said, I'm trying to help this guy, and you're worried about my dialect. You're a pain in the... Stay in the car next time. I can't win with this crew.
That reminds me of the first nightclub, Ripley's on South Street. I was 15 years old. I snuck in there, you know, whatever. Obviously young, and the friend I was with, we're gonna get caught. I'm just like, blend.
Yeah, look like you've been here before.
Right, act like you know.
you're sneaking. The first club we snuck into was down the shore. It was Phil's Bongo Room in like Sea Isle or somewhere it was. Mm. We were so psyched. We had no business being in there. Like, I don't know, we were in there probably half an hour. I got a beer. I was on top of the world. I was 15. Okay. I was on top of the world. And next thing I know, the guy, bouncer, comes over. Yeah, that's the guy. I was like, what the fuck? I didn't do anything. Well, my friend dined me out because he's like, who else are you here with? I got this guy and that guy. So these bouncers are walking around, rounding all of us up. I said, what happened? Get outside the bar. What happens? Like, he grabbed some lady's rear end, right? We're 15 years old. Like, who the hell are these kids? I said, you lasted a half an hour. You're a fucking rookie. You know, a half an hour and you had to go full maniac. Yep. 15 years God. Old. You can't do that anymore. They arrest you. They would arrest you probably.
Well, you can't get in clubs anymore unless you have a vaccine passport. screw your ID.
That's true.
See, screw the ID. I don't care if you're 21 now. Let me see your vaccine passport.
You'll be grabbing your own ass, your own heart or something.
Yeah.
Something. All right.
No, I couldn't imagine.
We had a good round here. We appreciate it. Another Friday. Great show. And people can find you on Twitter. Where?
Twitter at OneCitizenPundit.
Or folks hit you up on pain.tv to maria.albanese.
I checked my DMs. Yep.
Good stuff.
I've been busy, not been on there lately at all. But
well, I hope your crew feels better.
Thank you. Me too. And let's hope the captain doesn't go down so that I could return next week.
Well, you have the magic. You have the magic pellets there. Keep on the magic pellets. We'll see what happens.
That's what I'm doing. That is what I'm doing. And it's so far so good.
All right. Good stuff. I'll talk to you.
All right.
Thanks.
Have
again.
A great weekend.
You too.
Bye.
Bye. She stood in the street, smiling from her head to her feet. I said, hey, what is this? Now, baby, maybe she's in need of a kiss. I said, hey, what's your name, baby? Maybe we can see things the same. Now, don't you wait, oh, hesitate. Let's move. Home to my place, watching every move on her face. She said, look, what's your game, baby? Are you trying to put me in shame? I said, it's slow.